Hi, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm really, really excited that you're joining us today. Every week, I invite a girlfriend to join me on the show, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Guys, the Happy Hour exists to encourage women in whatever stage of life they're in. We want to inspire them to do big things, and we constantly want to point them to Jesus. So I hope that as you listen to today's show and every show that you listen to from the Happy Hour, that you feel one of those three things, hopefully all of those three things. Guys, before we get to my guest, Amanda, I want to thank one of our sponsors for the show today, and that's Jelly Telly. Are you looking for a fun way to help your kids learn about Jesus? Well, check out the Jelly Telly app to stream new and classic Christian shows for kids. Guys, you remember Silly Songs with Larry? Yep. Share your love of old school VeggieTales with your kids. Watch together or feel great handing your phone to your kids, knowing that they'll be watching safe shows that all point back to God. Jelly Telly is easy to watch on your phone, tablet, computer, or TV with iOS, Android, and Kindle apps, plus a new Roku channel. Guys, you can try a month of Jelly Telly for free on jellytelly.com with the coupon code HAPPYHOUR. You're going to get unlimited streaming of your family's favorite Christian videos and more. Thank you, Jelly Telly, for being part of the Happy Hour. Guys, today you're listening to episode number 110 of the Happy Hour, and today my guest is Amanda Bible Williams. Yes, I did ask her if her maiden name really was Bible, and it is. Amanda is the Chief Content Officer at She Reads Truth. I love chatting with her about the new book that She Reads Truth just released. Plus, we chatted about anxiety and how we as women think we need to carry the whole world on our shoulders. Anyone relate to that? Hands raised? Anyone? Okay, guys, real quick before we get to the show with Amanda, a lot of you women are running your own businesses or you're part of organizations that are doing great big things. And this is what I want you to hear, okay? Every year, I like to highlight places where we can spend our money on Christmas gifts and feel good about them. Yes, I did say Christmas, and we haven't even had Halloween or Thanksgiving, but guys, it will be here before we know it. I've been doing something on my blog for years, and last year was the first time I did this on the podcast, and it was so much fun. I brought you organizations that you could trust to send your money to, and then we did a whole show about it. Jen Hatmaker was my co-host. I already have my co-host for this year, and I'm so excited. I can't wait to tell you. I'm not going to tell you today, but you will love her because you already love her. If you want to listen to the show from last year, go to jamieivey.com/Christmas2015. But we're going to do it again. And so really soon, we're going to have the opportunity for you to apply to be on the show if you're a business owner. Now, if you're interested, you need to send an email to info@jamieivey.com. Now, to be considered, you have to apply. But then to be considered, you have to be at least one of these things. A women run small business. So a woman running a small business. Your products are ethically made. It's something that you are proud of because you are using ethical business practices to have your products made, or your business has a give back model. A lot of you guys are like, I'm all three of those. So kudos to you. Email info@jamieivey.com. And really soon in the next couple, 1 to 2 weeks, you're going to be able to see where you can apply about that. It's literally one of the most fun shows that we get to do all year. And I cannot wait to do it again this year. Okay, guys, I've made you wait long enough. Here is my conversation with Amanda. Hey, Amanda, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so glad you're here because we had a trouble scheduling last week because you got sick.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't feel that bad. I sounded terrible and I still don't sound great. So apologies for that. I felt okay. I was whispering and I didn't think that was going to go very well for us. So
we would have had to turn you up really loud. And so, but we could have done it, you know.
Yeah, well, we actually did. We did some interviews. Now, I only one short recorded interview where I did try to talk a little bit and I shouldn't have, but Rachel and I did some interviews that day, surrounding the book. And it was really hilarious. I mean, I was literally talking like this and I just kept like, can you still hear me? And they were saying, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway,
that's hilarious.
So who knows? People were very kind. They didn't have to be before. Yeah.
Well, I have been excited about chatting with you because I follow what you guys do online and I've seen all the amazing stuff you guys are putting out. And it's so exciting to chat with you because we've never met in real person, in real life.
I know. And I feel like, you know, you're one of those people that like I just was thinking the other day, how have I never met Jamie?
I know.
Because I feel like I know we have online friends in common, but I feel like we have some real life friends in common. So I don't know. We'll have to figure that out later. But yeah, I'm really excited to have an excuse to chat with you.
Well, next time I'm in Nashville, we'll have to get together.
Oh, please. I love that. I know Rachel would love that too.
That would be so much fun. Okay. So you, this was going to be one of my very first questions for you, but when I got your book about a week or two ago, the question was answered for me. And I know that you're going to, you know exactly what I'm going to ask, I'm sure, because my very first question to you was, is your maiden name really Bible?
Yes.
And in your bio, you said, and I'm always answering the question that yes, my maiden name really is Bible. That is so funny. I have never, ever even heard of that.
Yeah. Well, you're not the only one. I mean, it is obviously not a super common last name. Believe it or not, it's not incredibly uncommon where my family and like my extended family is from. We're kind of from like East Tennessee, like the Appalachian area. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's not terribly uncommon there. But yeah, you know, it didn't really occur to me that it was a little bit strange until I was pretty much an adult. You know, you just, when you're a kid, you just don't think about those things. And, but yeah. And now, especially with the work that I do,
I know that's what I was, still, it's so funny.
Yeah. And it still comes as a surprise to me. The work that I'm actually doing, you know, I just never would have thought. And so I love the work that I do, but yeah. So now it's, you know, Amanda Bible tells people to read the Bible. So
exactly.
Yeah, I wish that my dad could have seen this because I think he would have really thought it was hilarious.
Oh, I think that he would have loved it for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned the work that you do.
Yes.
You and Rachel Myers, I don't know if you guys are I don't know your titles, but you guys run She Reads Truth.
That's right. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, we lead it together. She is our CEO. Which is perfect for Rachel. It suits her to a T. She is a fantastic leader. Just does a really good job keeping the rest of us in line. And we have a lot of balls in the air at one, you know, any given time. And so she really is really gifted and just leading, but also, you know, being a real person and loving real people while she's doing that. Like she,
that sounds like a good leader.
Yeah, it's a really, she really fosters a unique and just a good environment here at SRTHQ, as we call it. So, so she is the CEO. I am the CCO, which for us is Chief Content Officer. And so, but yeah, I mean, we equally shoulder the load of running She Reads Truth. And now we're sort of branching out into a family of brands. We've got He Reads Truth, and we've got one little Kids Read Truth product coming out soon. So we're really excited about that. But yeah, it's a lot. And so it is definitely not just the two of us. We have a fantastic team, a creative team, an editorial team, social media team, shipping and fulfillment team. So there are a lot of really talented and capable people who work here at She Reads Truth. So we're just really thankful for them. But it's a blast. We love what we do. I just absolutely love it.
Okay, so if someone's listening and they have been living under a rock or something and they don't know what She Reads Truth is, what do y'all do? Like, what's the purpose of your company and what are y'all trying to do for women and men and kids?
Okay. I'm so excited to tell you because it's a lot of fun. So the more the merrier. So She Reads Truth has a very simple, direct mission, and it is women in the Word of God every day. And and that is exactly what it is. It is we read through scripture reading plans. So sometimes that's a book of the Bible. Right now, the community is reading through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Mm-hmm. So we'll read through a book of the Bible, or we'll read through, like, read scripture around a topic, like biblical hospitality or justice or a topic like that. Or we will read through scripture plans that are based on periods in the church calendar. So Advent mm-hmm. is a season that we love. We love our Advent plan. That's actually what I was working on right before we started chatting. So, it is, one of our longest, plans of the, excuse me, of the year, but also just one of our favorite. It's just such a sweet season. So like sometimes Advent, Lent, things like that. So we read the Bible every day is the short story. And it is just a really good place to come for women who are just like, I want to read the Bible every day. And they just need a little bit of direction or company or accountability and community for that. And so we have SheReadsTruth.com, where the reading plans are published every day. And we also have the She Reads Truth app, which is a really beautiful scripture app. I can say that it's beautiful because I had absolutely nothing to do with its beauty. I am only a words person. I sometimes will join in our creative team meetings just because I can, but also because it's just our joke that like, oh, hey, I'm here to give my very valuable input.
Exactly. And they're like, thank you.
Like, yeah, we'll take that in.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we have, you know, you can subscribe via email. So that's really all it is. It's women from around the world now who read scripture together every day. And we are just there to encourage one another in scripture. We hold scripture higher than anything that we, anything else we have to say, basically, you know, higher than our opinions or our doctrine, or we just really want to champion the word of God. And we believe that God's word is living and active. And when you open it and read it, first of all, we are meant to open and read it. Like it is for us. We do not have to have a doctorate in theology to read the Bible. It is for us. And also, like, you know, the Holy Spirit meets us there. And so it's a really amazing thing. So,
I really love what you guys are doing. And I know that, personally speaking, in seasons of my life and with women that I talk to all the time right now, sometimes life just gets in the way, and then they look up and they think, holy cow, it's been like 3 months since I've even like opened up God's word. You know, and I think then women get to that point and they think, well, I mean, I don't even
what
know
do
where
I
to,
do now?
What do I do now? Yeah. I don't even know where to start now? Or what now, you know, is it too late?
Yeah.
You know, what do you say to those women that are just thinking, I think I might've missed the boat on this?
Well, I would say a couple things. The first thing I would say is you are absolutely not alone. That I think we are all either there or have been there. And I just think that's so common. You know, it reminds me of the way I feel when I start to try to clean my house, because it's not clean ever. And I just look around and I'm like, oh my word, where do I even start?
Yes.
Because it just feels so big and so overwhelming. And so, you know, my encouragement to those women, and it is, you know, and a lot of times that is me. I mean, obviously I open God's word all the time as part of my job, but that is, that's different than just opening God's word to just meet with the Lord and not only to, you know, not also to do work that I have to do that
right.
day. So that would be the biggest thing I would say is you are not alone and in that circumstance, but also you are not alone in reading God's word. You know, if you, and that's one of the beautiful things about She Reads Truth. And I think that the comfort that women find there is that, we are all, so much alike in that, and that we, you know, whether I have read the Bible all the way through 5 times or I'm opening it for the first time, my need of the gospel is exactly the same. So I need the gospel just as much as someone who has never open God's word, and that person needs the gospel just as much as I do. And so I think that's one of the things that we're passionate about, is not really, you know, feeling the pressure to, hey, I have to understand everything that's in this book, because it's one of those, the Bible is one of those things where, you know, the more you know, the more you know you don't know. You know, where the more you learn, the more you realize just how vast and what just a mystery the gospel of Jesus is, in a good way. You know, if we could figure it out in 5 minutes, it wouldn't be that amazing, right?
And so
I just think that it is the important thing is to just start, and whether you're starting for the first time or the 100th time, just start and just open God's word. Don't be afraid to ask people around you for help, or just to step alongside you, whether that looks like something like She Reads Truth, or hopefully that looks like someone in your local church. We are big fans of the local church, and we want, you know, we want She Reads Truth to always be, to only be a supplement mm-hmm. To a woman's Christian community, because there is not a replacement for in-person real life community. And so, so I would just say to like where that voice that's in your head, A of all, we all have it. Mm-hmm. And B of all, just tell it to hush and go sit in the corner and you open the Bible. And there's just not a wrong place to start.
Yeah. You that's know? So good. And I love what you guys are doing, because you're saying, hey, we understand the struggles and we understand what God's word says will actually happen when we sit and, you know, go to the water and drink, and, you know, what he will do for us. And so I just love what you guys are doing.
Thanks, Lord. You
guys have a book come out. It came out early October. I can't even believe it.
Yes. It's very surreal. You know, it's crazy because at She Reads Truth, She Reads Truth is a ministry. We do, you know, the reading plans for women and the devotionals are always free on the website all the time. But that ministry is funded by the business part of She Reads Truth, where we actually sell like study books and mm-hmm. grants and things like that. And so all of that to say, we work on study books all the time. So we're constantly, like, when we talk about a book here in the She Reads Truth office, we are talking about a study book. So for us to now have in our hands and on our shelves a She Reads Truth book, which is what we call it.
Yeah. Yes, it is a book.
It is so surreal, and it is completely different. It's a completely different feeling and experience than that which we've been doing here at the She Reads Truth office for a while. And yeah, but it's such a blast. It is a whole new world, and it's just super fun to watch that publishing bit of our world with the book kind of collide with the She Reads Truth community as it has always existed.
Wow.
And so it's really fun.
It is a beautiful book too. And I always say on here, I'm a big fan of covers. And so you guys have a great book. It looks amazing. And I love the tagline. The tagline of y'all's book says, holding tight to permanent in a world that's passing away. And it just goes along with everything that you guys are champion over there. She Reads Truth is about God's word. Okay. Can we talk about one of the chapters?
We can. I'm a little nervous because I don't know which chapter.
I know. I just am going to spring this on you. So
okay, ready.
I have read bits and pieces of it as we were preparing to chat today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And today I literally have read bits and pieces of both you and Rachel's stuff. And then I sat down and read the entire chapter. I just randomly picked a chapter. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
And I believe that like things happen because God plans them to happen, you know, and it's like nothing is by chance. And I have just had like a hard day today, like just personally and with some family stuff. And so, look, I'm going to cry. I told you that I would cry. And I read your chapter. It's chapter 7 and it's called Take a Seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I read the entire thing and I was just like, wasn't like sobbing or anything, but I was just crying tears of like understanding what you went through and some of the stuff you talk about, and we'll talk about it, but also just feeling like, man, I really needed to hear this today. I needed to be reminded that I don't hold everything together and I don't keep everything, you know, moving in this world. Thank goodness.
I mean,
but sometimes as women, we feel as though everything is on our shoulders to make sure everything goes the way it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
So you wrote this chapter and you started out by talking about walking into a psychologist's office. And oh, girl, I have felt that after my kids came home from Haiti. They'd been home in probably about 3 or 4 months and I had panic attacks for the first time in my life.
Oh, my gosh.
Went to my OB and was like, listen, I'm either going to have to go to like a hospital, like I'm going to have to go away.
It's
I'm
terrifying.
Gonna have to get some help, you know. And so and then it's I've terrifying. Been to counseling and stuff. But so I related to that so much. And I think I want to talk with you about women and what is your words to them and my words to them about we just put everything on our shoulders and we just walk and walk and walk. And eventually what happens is we fall down.
Yeah.
Because we were never meant to carry all that weight. So tell me a little bit about how you went through that, you know, when you're born, when I don't know if they're twins, when your twins were little and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, I think we might be having similar but different days, because I felt the same way this morning.
I'm just like weepy, and I don't want to blame it on women's stuff, but I was too. I'm just telling you, I'm weepy today.
Okay, well, this may not end well, because I have been too. But, you know, it's funny. My husband and I don't text much during the day, because we're just like, listen, there's stuff going on. Like,
we're working.
So if he texts me or I text him, we know it's important. And so I had no more than just gotten to work, and I hadn't even gotten out of the car. And I texted him, and I was like, you know, I wasn't sobbing, but I was definitely, you know, there were tears. Mm-hmm. And I just texted him, and I just said, hey, I need you to pray for me. And I just felt overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I just, with, you know, there's a lot going on, and there's always a lot going on, but for some reason this morning, it just felt different. So, you know, I think that we always need that reminder. I mean, even hearing you say it back to me, that, we don't hold all things together. Mm-hmm. Christ does. You know, even when you are repeating back words that are in this book, mm-hmm. it makes me take like a deep breath and say, oh yeah, mm-hmm. I forgot. this chapter. So when our twins were born, my daughter was not quite 2.5. And so there were, you know, just a lot of little bitty humans.
Which even just the thought of that, Amanda, I have big kids now.
Deep breaths.
I know. Deep breaths. My youngest is 8 and my oldest is 12. So I claim I have big kids. I think you're in the kind of the same boat as me.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, when you say that, I literally, and anyone listening that's been through what we've been through with little babies, I get transferred back to that moment.
We have a little bit of PTSD.
Yes.
And I don't say that to even belittle. Like, I know, you know, there are a lot of reasons for PTSD, and I am not kidding. There are times when
I
see small children or a mother with multiple small children, and I just think, oh yeah, I remember. Uh-huh. And it was really hard.
Yeah.
You know,
well, even just me reading your story this morning, I remember I was sitting there on the floor, like trying to get my dog to go into its bed, which is a whole nother story over here. But like, I'm sitting there like trying to coax her to her bed, but I'm like, I'm reading at the same time. And I was almost taken back. I mean, I was taken back and going, I get that. I get the tight chest. Yeah. I get the, like, I can't breathe. I'm gripping the side of this like counter with all of my might. Yeah, I know. I get that.
Yeah. So there are a couple of things about that time that, they're really stand out to me that when I think about it, and one is that, like what you just described, where you have those moments where it, you know, the panic is so that it actually, I mean, there's a physical response in your body, and I remember, you know, gripping the edge of the counter. And the thing I remember most about that, though, is that it felt like an out of body experience. Mm-hmm. Like it felt like I was watching myself, respond or react to my children. Or I was watching them. I was watching me like a scene from
like
a
movie almost.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like I could actually, that I actually had the power to change what's happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I was watching this woman overreact and just feel completely overcome by fear, and panic, but yet I couldn't do anything to help her, mm-hmm. you know? And so it happened a few times, sort of lower on the spectrum, like, you know, not quite a full blown panic attack. And then the time I describe in the book, you know, I don't guess I'll ever forget because it still feels like yesterday. It was the first time that it was very physical, and it was terrifying. Mm-hmm. And I was afraid of, you know, I was in my head, I knew that I didn't want to be overcome by that, you know, and it just spills out, mm-hmm. Onto your children. And, you know, and I knew in my head, I didn't want that, but I didn't know how to stop it. And so that I called and made an appointment, I think that next day. And I was so afraid to describe any of this mm-hmm. to that man, because I just thought, A, you're not going to understand me, because I had no idea how old he was until I booked the appointment and went in. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, you could be my grandfather. You are going to think that I am ridiculous. Oh. And he was so compassionate. Mm-hmm. And not only that, like, he didn't feel sorry for me. He just said, you know, this makes sense, because I described to him some other things that were going on in our life. And when I started to objectively list all those things, you know, he just sort of looked at me and was like, he actually tried to stop me at one point because he thought I was done.
And you're it like, was, oh no.
It was after I was telling him about the ages of our children. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh no, there's more.
And that's funny. Because he's like, yeah. this, what you just said is enough. And you're thinking, we just started.
Yeah. But I think that's one of those things. And when I blogged, a while back, and I was never like a huge blogger, but, it was an escape for me when my twin boys were babies. It just gave me something. You know, I already wasn't sleeping. So I was like, well, I might as well write something.
Yeah.
Right. I might as well write late at night. And I used to talk some about anxiety and just how broken of a mother I could be. And it's just still now, even now, you know, putting it in the book, it still amazes me how little we will talk about that to each other.
It's so true.
And how we really do try to hide it. And I think it's for a lot of reasons, you know. I mean, I remember my husband would say, like, you have to be careful the way you write about this, because someone's going to, like, you know, I tend to process things. I can be a little melodramatic, mm-hmm. I'll be honest. And he's just like, you have to be careful the way you say these things, because people could get, you know, if they don't know what you're talking about, they could get the wrong impression. And so then I just get even more terrified, because I'm like, are you going to come take my children away?
Right.
I'm just trying to be honest here. But I think there are a lot of us who feel the way that you and the way that I felt that day, mm-hmm. and the way that you felt today, where we know that it's not the whole world, but good grief, it feels like the whole world.
It does.
On our shoulders.
And you said,
and you're
it,
like, I can't drop the whole world. There's little people under me and it's going to fall on them.
Exactly. And you said it so well in your book too. You were talking about how you didn't even know how to name it. So you just named it the only thing you could think of. And that was failure. It feels like failure. And, you know, I was even like, with what's kind of making me weepy today and what I'm feeling as though is kind of out of control. And I'm wishing that I could control what's making me, you know, sad and weepy.
Yeah.
And then it does make me feel like a failure as a mom. But then I think it goes back to everything that the reason y'all wrote this book and the reason that y'all do She Reads Truth, the whole like foundation would be that we're not defined by what we feel, but we're defined by what is true about us. And that's like what I've been gospeling myself today, and which I feel like sometimes as women, we just need to put a couple of phrases on repeat. You know what I mean?
Is that
this does not define me, but I'm defined by, you know, Jesus who loves me and a savior and a creator. And so that's my mantra today, Amanda.
Yes. Amen. I can't, you know, Rachel and I, a lot of times when, you know, we spend a lot of time at our office and actually running She Reads Truth. Occasionally we have the opportunity to go out and, you know, and speak to, you know, real women in person.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And when we do, you know, it's always really important for us to, if there is any misunderstanding that we somehow have arrived and understand and have like, oh, like, yeah, like we know all of this truth by heart. And we're reminding you guys, not ourselves. We correct that really quickly because I look at She Reads Truth as one of God's just biggest gifts and graces to me, because I can't escape it. I cannot escape the truth of God's word, because it is now my job. You know, he made someone who was a professional at either twisting God's words to make something about me that's not about me, or to make salvation something that I've done, or at least something that I have to maintain, you know, like we get like a progress report. You got to make sure that you're making the grade. And you know, that is just, I've always had a really hard time shaking that and going other places for my approval and, going other places with my affection and not to him. And so She Reads Truth, it is in my face every day in the Word of God. And it is such a blessing to me. It is such a blessing to my family because, that is what, you know, that's what mom does for a living is she reads the Bible.
Mm-hmm, like that's right.
You know, what's hilarious here. Just, well, your kids are probably old enough now where they know the answer to this question. But a while back, about a year ago, I just happened to think of it and I was at work and my husband was at work. And so, there was a babysitter with our kids in the afternoon and I texted her and I was like, "Hey, can you ask each of my kids separately what I do for work and record it. And I want to know." And so it is just the most hilarious thing because one of them, like my daughter was like, "Oh, she writes and edits books." Like, so she knew,
right?
But the kids were like, "Well, She Reads Truth." And then like, they're like, "What if She Reads Truth?" And they're like, "Well, as the Bible," like they just, you know, they don't know. But anyway, but one of them said that I read the Bible for a living and I was like, "Well, I mean, that's true." And, anyway, so yeah, I think that the gospel is a reminder that, you know, I used to think that we needed that reminder weekly, you know, like on Sundays.
Yeah. And
sometimes
Wednesdays, now, you know,
really feeling it. But now I'm like, "Oh no, like not even every day."
Hourly?
I mean, there are the hourly, minutely.
Right.
I don't know. Like, you
right.
know, maybe I need a tattoo on my hand. But yeah. And so this book, we're really passionate about this book that we frankly at first didn't want to write. And so, but we are really passionate about it because it is just our reminder to ourselves, that God's word has been true always. Like not only in my life from beginning to end, but in the life of Abraham and of Moses and of Esther and Ruth and Mary, you know, I mean, God's word is, it is the same living and active word. And he is the same God for me as he was then. And as he will be for my children's children.
So good. And just to tell you too, what I love about the book, this is my favorite kind of book, the books that have stories and truth mixed together.
Yeah.
So you and Rachel wrote my favorite kind of book.
Well, I'm so glad. You know,
I'm so glad you could do that for me.
We wrote our favorite kind too, which is probably why it was where we started. Because we both really love memoirs and we, you know, we knew there would be a book before we started writing the book. But what the book was to be sort of dramatically shifted right as we started writing, which is always fun. You know, you're like,
Yeah, we'll just switch things up real quick.
Yeah. And so, I don't think we realized that it was going to involve as much personal story, but as we started to really dig into what we wanted to say, the only way we knew to say it was to show it through our own stories. But at the same time, we don't want this book to be a book about Rachel and Amanda. Like, you know, obviously you do know more about us now that you've read it than before, but we want women to walk away going like, you know, that I have grown an affection for God's word. And like we want them to want more of God's word, not want more of Rachel and Amanda.
Yeah. I love it so much.
You're going to find out, you know, that we are train wrecks at times. And that's, and so you may say like, "Oh, I want more of God's word. And I don't think I should hang out with them."
Whatever. We're all one big train wreck on the road to wrecking ourselves together apart from Jesus. So, I love it so much. Hey guys, real quick, before we get back into my conversation with Amanda, which I know that you're loving as much as I did, I want to thank our other sponsor for the show today, and that is West Rock Coffee. West Rock Coffee is a brand that is literally changing lives by providing coffee that you can be proud to choose for your home. Their focus is to be a catalyst for real change in the lives of farmers and their families by paying a fair price for the coffee in their delicious blends and offering farmers training to enhance the quality and quantity of their crops. Most of us will enjoy a cup or two or three, hello, all of you coffee drinkers, each day. some of us without even knowing what brand we choose. Guys, I want to tell you that Westrock Coffee is a brand that you can choose that is not only delicious, but it's actually changing lives as well. I am literally drinking a cup of coffee from Westrock right now. You can find Westrock Coffee at your local Kroger or go to westrockcoffee.com to find out where you can add Westrock to your grocery list. Okay, Amanda, I want to ask you this. I recently saw, I don't know where I saw this on one of your social media platforms, that your husband David was out of town for a week.
He was.
I just did a week without my husband as well.
Yeah, it was a little more than a week. It was 9 days, but
okay, that's a long time.
Yeah, and he doesn't have, I travel a little bit with work and he travels like a tiny bit with work. And we live in Nashville where everyone is like a traveling musician.
Right.
You know, and, but we are not. And so I am just a really big baby when it comes to traveling because I think, oh, I'm going to be great. It's going to be fine. But after a week, I was like, this is way overrated. You just got to come home.
I know. Okay. Tell me, what is the hardest thing for you when he's gone?
That's a good question. I think the hardest thing is being, you know how when there are two of you at home, it has to do with parenting. When there are two of you at home with kids, you get to sort of balance each other out. So like, you know, one is like, oh, well, I happen to be here right now. So I'm the one that's like putting my foot down. Mm-hmm. But then like if I'm that person, I really need him to like, not just lighten things up for my kids who have just gotten in trouble, but to like
for you too,
fill them out. Yeah,
yeah.
And so, in with him, I think there's just the benefit of having two adults in the house is that like it's sort of a forced dual perspective. So you can't. So I think that's the hardest thing for me is like, man, I am on my own here. So let's just hope I do okay.
I know. Aaron was gone for, I guess, 6 days this time, and he travels quite a bit, and I travel some as well, and so we're doing a lot of, like, tag teaming, but I'm kind of like you. I mean, I was telling one of my girlfriends at football practice the other day, I was just telling her that I think she's amazing. She's a single mom, and so I'm like, you do everything I'm complaining about. It's like your life, you know? You don't ever have someone to step in. This is what you do.
But I think of that a lot, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think of that a lot, especially this week. I think of single parents and military spouses.
Oh, yes.
I think of them all the time. Yep. I'm like, they are my heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh. I know, because it's just like, I was thinking the same thing that you were, that when Aaron's gone, well, first of all, we always joke that I miss him cooking dinner because I don't like to cook and I'm not very good at it. And I made two meals this past week and we ate leftovers the entire time. And Aaron, my husband, would never eat a leftover. Never.
But hey, you made two meals.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's something.
I know. Pat myself on the back.
It's better than zero.
Exactly. But I kind of am like you, where at this stage in our life, with my kids being bigger and everyone can deal with their own needs for the most part.
Right.
I just miss
They can make a sandwich if they have to.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. I miss the like tag teaming, you know, like, okay, I'm going to take this one here and you take this one here because it's easier. And instead it's like, I'm doing all of it. So yeah.
Right.
I hear you.
Also the struggle of like being the only person to receive questions.
Oh my gosh. You know, and you have 6-year-old boys. So I know that they are like constantly talking to you.
They are hilarious. Well, they have each other. So that's true. That's something. but they're really funny. I do not have any quiet children. I mean, we only have three, which I say only because, you know, I have friends who have nine. So it's just like, okay, when you give them perspective, like there's three. It's
exactly.
Fine.
Exactly.
They are all very energetic. Two of them in particular are pretty strong-willed and they are just very loud. Like they will go from just arguing and just being in this big fat fight, all three of them, you know, to having a great time together, but it is equally loud.
Exactly.
So it's just constantly loud all the time. And I just have to decide like, okay, I mean, as long as you're happy. But it's funny because a lot of times I can't catch on when the noise turns to unhappy noise. Sometimes it just completely misses
me. And it can happen quickly.
It happens so fast.
Yes, yeah. You can miss it. Yeah, 1 second.
I'm like, sorry, guys, I was alone with my thoughts for 5 seconds. I missed
exactly. And now we all hate each other.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, Amanda, I always ask people what they're loving and what they're reading. So, what are you reading?
Okay, well, what am I reading?
Which I know you read a lot for work. So
I do read a lot for work. So I could just like, I'm reading the Bible. Uh-huh. No, I do read a lot for work, but I've also, this is not really a fair answer because I'm about to say I'm falling in love with fiction again,
yay,
but I'm not currently in the middle of a fiction book, so I don't really have an answer. Although I did go to the airport when we were traveling this week, I was trying to find Beth Moore's novel because I'm dying to read it.
Did you find it?
It was not there,
oh,
but I told them they needed it. So
oh, good.
We took care of that. We took care of that.
It's really good.
I did order it on Amazon. It should be here. It should
okay,
be here
good.
Like today. So I'm excited. So that's going to be my next fiction book. But I feel like I have rediscovered fiction as a reader. So I am, whoever is listening, if you have your like must read fiction books, like tweet them to me because I'm in need of some good fiction recommendations. But I do read a lot of nonfiction. I'm reading Annie Dillard's The Writing Life,
mm-hmm,
which is just a tiny little book, but so I said that I really love memoirs and I do, but my favorite like genre within a genre, are books about writing. So
really?
Like a memoir from a writer that is specifically, has something to do with writing. Yeah. I love books about writing. I don't know. I think it's just because I love words so much,
mm-hmm,
that I just like to hear people talk about them.
Right.
But anyway.
Did you read Anne Lamott's book about writing?
Oh gosh. Yeah. That was the first, like, I can't remember who, I wish I could remember who recommended that to me because I would just drive wherever they are and hug them.
Mm.
But yeah, I loved that one. And I reread that one occasionally.
It's Bird by Bird, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Great book.
It's very good. It's very good. Her language can get colorful, but man,
but it's good
she
stuff.
Is awesome.
Yes.
It's so good. Okay. So, The Writing Life by Annie Dillard, which is just, it's really convicting as a writer because she's like, hey, where you write doesn't have to be pretty. And actually it shouldn't be pretty,
mm,
because if it's pretty, like if you have a pretty little office and you have your window open and you're looking out the window, you're going to be distracted. So she like tells the story of how she sketched the scene outside her window and then like drew her blinds and then painted the scene on the blinds.
Oh my gosh.
Which I think sounds just, it's a little too far for me. I
right,
can't go that far.
But we get
but
her
anyway,
point. Yes.
But it's one of those things that's just like, hey, you think you have excuses not to write, but you don't.
Oh, I need to read that.
I know you've got some things,
yes,
some words coming up soon. So.
I do.
I also have had about 85 people, not really, but a lot of people recommend the book Humility by Andrew Murray. Have you ever read that?
You know what? Someone gave that to me this summer on a trip.
It is another tiny book. These,
yes,
both of these books are really tiny. And it's actually our editor is one of the ones who is just like, you have to read this. So, but it's one of those books that you kind of have to read, or I have to read in like bite-sized pieces,
mm-hmm,
because you're like, oh wow, that was really dense. Just kind of packed. And I just need to like set that aside for a day and let those like three pages kind of sink in.
Yeah. Cause it's a really small book, but I understand when books like that are so deep that you kind of need to like marinate on it for a while.
Yeah. I have it in front of me. I was going to see if there was like a good example from that, but yeah, it is a tiny little guy. But and so I totally picked it up like all like, oh, I'm just going to breeze through this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. So you're one of those. I'm just going to.
Got it.
Carry it with me everywhere until we get through this. So.
Hey, well, I have a fiction book I can recommend for you.
Oh, I'm excited. I've got my pencil.
The Invention of Wings.
Ooh, I
by
like that.
Sue Monk Kidd.
Okay.
It was so good. I loved it so much. I read it. Also, if you want like a fiction that is just kind of, it's completely mindless, like totally just get lost in a story.
Please.
I read Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one.
You've probably seen the cover because it just kind of stands out with the girl in sunglasses. And so I really liked both of those. So there's my little.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. I'm excited. So do you, Jamie, how often do you read? Do you have a book going all the time?
Well, see, here's the thing. A couple of years ago, I decided to start reading like for real. And I made a goal to read 12 books in a year. This was probably like 6 years ago and I did it.
Yeah.
And then last year was just like a blowout clearly people read way more books than me, but a lot of people don't read very many. And I read 36 books last year. I mean, That's a lot of books. Yeah. So I guess I had nothing else to do with my life. But
to me, that's wildly successful, because when you say you've read a book, then you're implying that you read the whole book. And that is sometimes the trick for me, especially with nonfiction. Fiction, I'll power through. But nonfiction, I have to read it within a certain amount of time. If I let it go on too long, I just won't finish it.
You get lost in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on that. And so this year I've only read 17 books, but I'm not like beating myself up. I don't care. But here's what I'm finding.
That's so good.
In my job now,
I
like you just said, I get a lot of books from people that I'm going to talk to, and right. I may not read the entire book, but I'll read a lot of it.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. But then I'm like, I feel bad saying I read it if I really didn't read it like front to end, and maybe I need to let that go. But
no, I think you should let that go. I think that you should maybe give yourself a percentage and be like, you know what? I read 60% of that book.
And that means it's done.
It is going on my list.
Exactly. But like fiction, like you said, I mean, I'll read the whole thing. That's amazing. You know?
Yeah.
But you can't you have to know.
If the characters are well written, you can't live with yourself until you know.
I know. So like I use Goodreads. Do you use Goodreads at all?
You know, I did and then I didn't. So I should try again.
It's but really good for me.
Yeah. It got depressing for a while, especially when we were really in the throes of like She Reads Truth, like beginning and like kind of as it was just growing, and it still feels like this too, but especially the first like 3 years, we were just like sprinting to keep up with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so we legitimately, like I had no time. And so it was really sad to me that I just wasn't reading. And that was about the time that I signed up for my Goodreads account. And then I promptly felt so much reader shame.
Okay.
That I just
no reader
stopped.
Shame here. And let me tell you, the only thing I use Goodreads for, like I have no notifications that come on. I don't want to know what you think about a book. I don't want you to recommend books to me. Right. I just want to keep a list of my books. So like the book you just told me about, I just added it to my Goodreads as to read, you know? Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm like thinking, oh, I need a book, I'll go look. But all that to say, it also says what books I'm reading, and I currently have 11 books.
Ooh, open books.
But some of them, I'm going to take your advice, and if I've read 60%, I'm going to click it to read instead of currently read.
It's two. I mean, that'll just start weighing on you, like talking about feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders.
Hey, there's going to be freedom in my Goodreads account.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes.
You know, that Goodreads account is there to work for you. You
That's
do not work
exactly
for that account,
right. So. That's exactly right. Okay, but I do want to tell you about... I want to tell you two books I'm reading.
Okay, I'm ready.
Number one is Love That Boy. And then the tagline is called What Two Presidents, Eight Road Trips, and My Son Taught Me About a Parent's Expectations.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. And his name is Ron Fornier or something. I don't know how to say his last name that much.
Yeah.
And then, so it's about, so I also joined this book club. Have you heard of this? This is not an advertisement, but it's called, you join a book club. What's it called? I just got an email about it today. Anyhow, it's this book club. And you pick a book every month out of like 5 books and they send it to you. And I joined it because I thought, man, I've been reading a lot of like Christian living, nonfiction books. I need to know what everyone else in the world is reading. And so I've just been getting it. And this is the first book I've actually read from it. Like I keep getting them every month, but I'm actually really loving it a lot about parenting. And it's kind of meeting me right where I am with some of my parenting stuff. And so I really like it.
That's good. I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah. And then I'm reading Talk Like TED, The 9 Public Speaking Secrets of the World's Top Minds.
Oh, goodness.
And that's one that I kind of just skim, you know.
Yeah. Rachel and I, with She Reads Truth, it's sort of, we did some things a little bit backwards. Like a lot of people do public speaking and, you know, women's conferences and stuff and sort of work their way up to a book or whatever. So we've kind of, because of She Reads Truth and just the way that it formed, it sort of went backwards. And so we are, you know, still pretty new to being on any kind of, stage platform or whatever. So, so anytime if our agent sends us a request, I'm like, okay, but is there a class for this? Like, I really need to take a class because I don't know if so I should probably get this book.
Well, you could get this book and then you talk like TED.
That's right. I need to talk like TED.
Talk like TED.
Or just at least a little bit more like TED for sure.
I think you should just talk like Amanda and you'll do fabulous. Girl,
yeah, you
I
think
am,
so.
I know.
You see the,
no,
these people.
No, no.
What great thing if you got the second, you're like,
I'm so excited for you guys about your book that came out earlier this month.
You.
And I'm just excited
Thank
about
you.
All the things God has in front of you guys. One thing I was going to ask you, and then I'll let you go, because you mentioned this about the kids read truth. As a mama, can you tell me about this real quick?
Oh, my word. Like, it makes me giddy. So one of our dreams has always been for, I mean, when He Reads Truth came along, the dream was for men and women to be able to read scripture individually, but in tandem, like
Got
together.
It. Right.
And so whether it's a husband or a wife, or a husband and a wife, or like a friend group, or, you know, two people who are engaged or whatever, a brother and sister, like with families that read together. That was always our dream. Well, with Kids Read Truth, our dream is specifically for families to, for the whole family, to be able to read God's word together. And so the first Kids Read Truth product, is for Advent. We do a reading plan and a study book for Advent. And so there's She Reads Truth study book and a He Reads Truth. We call those legacy books. And then for the kids, we're doing Kids Read Truth Advent table cards.
Okay.
So it's a set of 29 cards. Advent is 29 days long this year. And you can actually use this card set for years to come. But what the product is just a little card set, 4x6 cards that we had an artist do the illustrations there. So cute. I mean, they kill us. They're so cute. But it chooses a key, like we call it a cornerstone verse from, let's say, mom and dad's scripture that day. And it's on the card. So it'll have the day number and the title of the day and then the scripture. And then there are three questions, and the questions are designed for different age levels. So there's a question for like 2 to 5 year olds, a question for like 6 to 11, and then 12 to 16. And so it's just sort of to get the little kids just kind of engaged, where it's like, you know, make up motions for the three things God requires of us, you know, or, and then for the older kids, just sort of an open-ended, like, hey, what does it mean that Jesus was king, but that he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? Like, what does that mean? Anyway, so it's one product, but we are excited about the future of Kids Read Truth. We're just kind of taking it one step at a time.
This is so exciting.
Thank you.
So, okay, just tell us before we go, we can get your book anywhere, like Amazon, anywhere books are sold, basically.
Yes, you can. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Lifeway, Family Christian, like anywhere.
Yeah,
so,
okay. Yeah. And then what about the kids' Advent stuff? People are going to be wondering about that. Where can you get that?
Yeah, so we have a shop. The web address is shopshereadstruth.com. And if you go to, there'll be a kids link, a Kids Read Truth link, and an Advent link. So you can get your way. Yeah.
Yay. Okay. I cannot wait for everyone to hear about this. What a great way for families to sit around and read God's word together. And I know as parents, sometimes that is one of the biggest struggles, is just going, hey, I know I want to do this. I know I need to do this. I just don't know how to do this.
That's right. And so the reason they're called table cards is the vision is like, hey, you know, ideally, now it may not happen every day, but ideally, you know, I've read the scripture that day. My husband has read the scripture that day. And then as we gather for dinner that night, it's just sort of a conversation starter so that we can invite our kids into that conversation and give them something pretty to look at.
And oh my gosh, I just looked at the link. This is so cute.
I know. It's so cute. We've kind of opened like Pandora's box, because now that we've done this
and
we've tested them with our own kids, and we just are like, you know what? I want this. Like, as a parent, I want this.
Yeah.
This means do the work of creating them. So we're working on it. We're going to see if we can, you know, keep that going. But
well, good for you guys.
Yeah,
we have cards like this that we do around the table sometimes, you know, whenever we just think we're having a really great pat ourselves on the back parenting night, you know, we have these kind of cards.
Yeah.
And they work so well, but they're not based on scripture at all. And so this is going to be super fun for families.
Oh, it's so fun. I'm so excited to take them home to my own families.
So fun. Okay, Amanda, this was such a joy.
It's so fun. I'm so glad that to have some time with you. We're going to have to do it again.
We will have to do it for real.
Definitely call when you come to Nashville.
I will do that for sure.
Fun city.
I will do it for sure. And I will put all the links to everything we chatted about up on my webpage so people can find it and get you guys' book and head on straight to chapter 7 and they can cry along with me as I read it.
Oh my God. If you're I will say this, that you're lucky you didn't open in chapter 5 because
I'm going to go there right now.
Oh my gosh. Like that's now, and to the listener, like, don't be afraid. It's not all, the book is not, the whole book is not weepy, but, chapter 5 is Rachel's chapter. And, oh my word, I can hardly read through it. Because I know her and I love her and it's, but goodness, there's so much truth in that book. I know there is because there is actual quoted scripture.
Exactly. So everywhere it's full of scripture.
That's right. That's right.
It is full of God's word. So, thank you so much.
It's so much fun.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for joining me today. I had so much fun talking to her that you guys, I think I forgot to ask her what her three favorite things were. I'm going to have to get those from her and I'll let you know. Guys, I highly recommend you get their new book, She Reads Truth. It is so good. Also, for the links for their kids' conversation cards and everything else we chat about, as usual, everything's up on my webpage, jamieivy.com. Today's show is edited by Logan Garza and the music is from Jason Poe. As always, if you're ever interested in partnering with the Happy Hour, feel free to email us at info@jamieivy.com. Next week, my guest is Jen Bricker. You will love hearing her amazing story of resilience and overcoming obstacles. And when we had our conversation, it was closer to the Olympics. We chatted a couple of months ago. So there's a little bit of Olympic chat in there, but who couldn't use a little bit of Olympic chat right now in the midst of other chat that we're hearing on the news every day? There's also a twist in her story that literally you're never going to see coming that also has to do with the Olympics. Guys, but first, don't forget about the Happy Half Hours. They're every other Friday, so we have one this Friday, and my guests will be here, Elise Fitzpatrick, who I just love and adore. She cracks me up. She's full of wisdom. And randomly, this week, I had a dream about her and her daughter, Jessica. Weird, I know, but she'll be here this Friday. And if you subscribe to the Happy Hour, it automatically comes to your feed every single week. Guys, enjoy your week. Share the show with a girlfriend and have a happy hour with a friend.